Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
When the Word of God comes, you want to have your expectation high because you're going to get out of it what you expect. That's called faith. Everybody say faith. Whether you walk into a marriage with low expectations, you walk into a message with low expectations, you walk into the mall. Have you ever gone to the mall and not found a thing and you needed to buy something? Like you went because you need a black shirt and you could not find one to save your life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We get what we expect because that's how faith works. And every superhero has a cool tool, right? Every superhero's got that thing. Like Spider-Man's got his web shooter. Green Lantern's got the ring that does all the stuff. You know, Captain America's got his shield. Iron Man's got his suit. And every normal person wants to be super in some area. I mean, I was thinking last week, I got 3 different spider bites last week. I don't know what was going on at our house. And I kept going up to the wall, seeing if it would stick. And I got nothing. I got nothing. Everybody wants to be super. And then I got to thinking, well, you know, I can't climb the walls, but, and here's how we start to settle when we don't get what we want as fast as we want it. We start to lower our faith. Well, if something ever happened to me, at least the police would protect me. Well, I guess they would, but they're in the natural. Really what the police are for is damage control, not prevention. They're not at the house before the crook comes. Trust me, last Sunday morning, it was a little bit before our alarm went off in the wee hours of the morning, and all of a sudden our alarm starts going off, letting us know someone has broken the glass in our dining room and come in the house. That's a way to start your Sunday. So in our house, we rehearse these scenarios because we have some mean people on social media that say really, really kind of dangerous things. So we rehearse scenarios like this. Mine is to have some protection within arm's reach, have it locked, loaded, communicate what's happening, take a specific place in the house while David gets Ashton into a certain space in the house. So we do it, we move, we take our positions, it calls the police. And we're waiting. For 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. They could have made people soup out of my family in that time. And yet they come. Why? Because they're prevention. They're not prevention. They're damage control. So with the scary things that are going on in our world, how do we deal with all of the things that happen? How do we deal with New York and a guy takes off into the crowd with a box truck? How do we deal with the fires? We were just in Gatlinburg this past week for a prayer retreat. And the home that we stayed in, it was incredible. This home was on the top of a hill, and our whole team was there, and the fire had burned all around the home, 360 degrees. There was a retaining wall on one side. It was made out of those timbers, I don't know, railroad ties, and some of them were charred and gone. It had gone all the way around the home. Forests were gone, but somehow this house remained. And that's really what got me thinking about this message is, why did this particular house not get burnt down? Well, I believe that somebody knew how to pray. And I believe that there was a shield of protection over that home. And that home was not allowed to burn. It didn't matter how many directions the fire came in. There was no way for a fire truck to get up to the top of this hill. It was a trail that they called a driveway for about 2 miles. So what about that position in your life that the doctor said, baby, you're going to live with that for the rest of your life. You're going to have to take that medicine for the rest of your life. Well, you know, once you've had cancer, it's just a matter of time before it. We hear these things and we start to lower our expectation.
Yeah, that's good.
But there's something that we forgot. A message I preached a year or two ago called, "You Don't Know My God." You don't know my God. Do you know we serve a God who can get us out of even getting into the position in the first place. He'll change where you decide to go on vacation. He'll make you late for work. You will complain about being late, and God will be like, no, you don't understand. I saved you from a car accident. Amen. Come on. He'll have you change your job. He'll cause that weirdo to break up with you. He'll be like, why did that sucker break up with me? And the Holy Spirit's in heaven going, hey, baby, you didn't want none of that. Trust me. Right? You'll be pulling a Garth Brooks, oh, I thank God for unanswered prayer. Let me just do a shout after I see you on Facebook 20 years later on your third wife. What? God can keep us from getting into the situation, and therefore we don't even need faith to get out of it. That's not just faith to get out of a situation, friends. That's faith never to get into the situation. And I honestly believe God has done that with each and every one of us so many times that we'll never even know it until we get to heaven, and God will replay the movie, and he'll replay the movie, and he'll say, hey, you remember when you wanted to go to Branson and you ended up in Springfield, Missouri, and you complained for a week? Do you remember when you wanted to go to Florida, but you ended up in Branson? Do you remember when you wanted the job with the higher pay, but they didn't hire you, you had to take a job with lower pay? And he'll show us the alternate endings. But when we get into the situation, everybody say, when we get in the situation. I'd like to know who is in a situation right now. Who am I talking to that you need some faith in your life right now? And give me a good, strong amen.
Amen.
When we're in the situation, Ephesians 6, verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye may quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The Good News Translation says, at all times, carry faith as a shield. So it's the shield of faith, or faith as a shield. What does that mean? Well, Captain America's shield, it was supposedly indestructible. Nothing could get through it. You could hit it with anything. I guess in one of the movies, this is not my genre, okay? If you want to know who Justin Bieber is dating, I know it's Selena Gomez because my daughter told me so. Besides that, I watch HGTV. Okay? But so I was told that Thor hit it with his hammer one time, and it made a noise that resounded and rendered everybody unconscious, but it didn't go through. That's the kind of faith that God gives you. You see, if you study the Roman soldiers, because that's who they were talking about at the time, you see, it was an object lesson then, just like it's an object lesson right now. So the shield of faith, so we have to know what the shield looked like for the Roman soldier. And the Roman soldier's shield wasn't this big. The Roman soldier's shield went from their top to their bottom. So you have faith that covers you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet and everything in between. The Roman soldier's shield, every single day you had to oil it. Oil in the Bible is a sign of the anointing. You have to anoint your shield of faith every day. How do you do that? You do that with your high God time. You got to get with him. And the more you oil your shield, it's not going to crack or get dry or get dry rotted or get brittle or start to fall off and flake off. No, you have to oil it. Everybody say, oil it.
Oil it.
And then every day, say every day.
Every day
they would take that shield and they would dip it into water. And they would pull it back out of the water. And as you pulled it out of the water, what happened when it was in the water, it got waterlogged. You ever taken a bath towel and it was nice and light, but you got it soaking wet and you couldn't believe how heavy it was? Well, when they would pull that shield out full of water, washing of the water of the Word. So when you soak it down in the Word every day, when they would pull it out, it would be so much heavier. It seemed harder. It seems hard to spend time with God in the morning. It seems hard to fit in that prayer time. It seems hard to spend some time in your Bible every single day. It seems heavy, like there's rules, these regulations, these things. No, you see, it's not a rule and it's not a regulation. You don't serve a God of the law. Actually, Jesus came that the law would be no more. He fulfilled the law. We live under grace. Amen? These are not rules and these are not regulations. These are a way to live above and beyond what all of the natural people around you are living. God says, I'm going to love you whether you do this or not. I'm going to love you anyway, but I don't want to see you suffer. I don't want to see your house burn in the fire. I don't want to see an intruder come into your home. I don't want to see you get into the car accident. If the enemy comes against you with a diagnosis, I don't want to see it take you out. So I want you to soak it down in the washing of the water of word. I know it seems heavy, baby, but I'm telling you, it's good for you. And then the water is intentional. You see, back in the day, they would have these little thin arrows, and they were filled with a combustible material, and they would set them on fire. So as soon as they would hit a person, they would actually explode in a ball of fire. They were these little mini bombs, like a Molotov cocktail. And so these little Molotov cocktails would come flying at them with an arrowhead so it'd stick in them. But because of the depth of the water and the leather, because of the depth of the word and the shield, because of the depth of the word in your faith, whatever comes at you, when it hits you, and things are going to come. You see, God didn't promise that we were going to live some sainted life and nothing was ever going to come. He promised that when it came, He would be there. He would never leave you. He would never forsake you. You wouldn't get stuck there. That He would have tools and weapons available for you to get out of that place. Because that's what I was thinking about with the Gatlinburg fire. I'm like, so the fire's all around. And I thought, what if at some point they heard it's 360 degrees around the house. Fire trucks can't get through. You're done. And then they gave up. I wonder at what point do we have faith, but then that's just too much. I mean, that just lasted too long. I mean, I was in faith over this thing, and I was in faith over that other thing, but this one more thing happened. That's the moment that the enemy's waiting for. And that's why, friends, I know Barna did a study, and it said that America now comes to church 1 out of 4 weeks in the month. Oh, what a plan of the enemy. He's like, oh, they carry around what looks like a shield of faith. How many of you know this little plastic thing? If you took something, if you took a sword to me or a bullet to me, this would not save me. Because this is the appearance of a shield. He said, my church has the appearance of a shield. But they need a real shield. And so it becomes socially acceptable to fit church in around soccer. I know this part's probably not popular, but it'll save your life. We fit church in around soccer, football, thank you, barrel races, hockey, Astros, World Series. We fit church into our schedule instead of daily soaking that shield in the water and daily oiling that shield. I'm telling you, friends, that is why Growth Track is so important. To help you realize why soaking the shield, being deep in the faith, staying connected to others, it's not only a defensive weapon, it's an offensive weapon. God did not set us out here with only the ability of the shield to keep things away from us. No, matter of fact, did you know when the Roman soldiers gathered, they would form a rectangle. There's power in numbers. There's power in eye connects. There's power in the right they being in your life and knowing how to use their shield. So when they would gather together, they'd form a rectangle, and they would put the shields from their top to their bottom in a square all around the perimeter. The guys in the middle, they would hold their shields over their head. Now there's shields on the left, shields on the front, shields on the right, shields on the back, shields on the top. And when they would start moving forward, it says in books that I've studied about war in Roman times, they were nearly an unstoppable force. Your faith, when you're with people of faith, Psalm 91, 1,000 falls at my right and 10,000 on my left. And another scripture says, 1 puts 1,000 to flight. But when I have a friend praying with me, 2 puts 10,000 to flight. When you circle yourself and your eye connects, when you come to church and you circle yourself with the right they, instead of putting 1,000 to flight, you have tens of thousands being put to flight on your behalf. You're walking in a nearly impenetrable force. Because our faith does not stand alone. We're surrounded by it. And there are incredible people of prayer around you. Susie on the front row, little tiny Susie. Come here, Susie. This is going to be funny. Y'all know who, you know who Susie is. You know why this is funny. Because she's my little friend. I think you come up to my armpit.
Do I? Just that?
and we both have heels on, so I think it's fair.
I think it's fair.
Can I call you my armpit friend?
Yes, you can.
With deodorant. So little Miss Susie, right? She didn't look like much of a thing. If her and I went to blows, if I was you, I'd vote me. Right? I got her in reach. I got her in stature. You know, I know she works out, though. She works out. But what you can't tell by looking at her is the amount of faith that's on the inside of this woman. Because when a tornado dropped out of the sky and started heading towards Union, Missouri, they have a beautiful two-story home, these incredible balconies, these big columns. It would be a crime for a tornado to hit this house full of antiques that if you ever go to Susie's house, she'll tell you a story about each and every one of them and where it came from. It means so much to her. And when that tornado headed towards her house, little tiny Susie, right, gets out on that front porch. And did you point at it? On that back porch, she pointed at it on the back balcony, and she told that tornado, what'd you tell it?
To dissolve, to leave, to go, to bypass Union.
There you go. In the name of Jesus, she said. And do you know what that tornado headed straight for Union did? It turned, and it went down to DeSoto, Missouri.
Well, what about the people in DeSoto?
That's why you need to know how to handle the shield of faith. Because if you live in DeSoto, Missouri, you need to say, ha, 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 ain't no tornado coming to DeSoto while I'm here. I know Susie McKinley. And I know Jesus. And here's what I have to say. Tornado, you're not coming to DeSoto. Not today, Satan. Not today. You're going to have to make a right turn and go somewhere else. So we send it off, and we send it off, and we send it off, and finally it heads off in the middle of the lake or the middle of the sea or the middle of a field where it's not going to hurt anybody. We all have to stand together in our faith, shield of faith by shield of faith, and turn the devil off. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Susie. Would y'all help her down? And she's not the only one who prays over the weather. We pray over the weather all the time. I was just looking in my photo albums real quick. I only spent about 2 minutes looking. The first time I remember photo documenting it on our vacation was in 1999. Austin was 9 years old. We took him to Disney World. And the weather was horrid. It was. There was rain everywhere. So all we knew to do, everybody say, all we know to do. All we knew to do was pray. So we prayed. And what was so funny is we would look up and we would see blue skies in a circle. And then all around the circle, we would see rain clouds. Well, Memorial Day, we took the weekend off. We went to a hotel with the kids to go to the beach. And we went to the beach, and this big storm was blowing in. And we're sitting on the beach in our little chairs, and the people from the hotel came down, and they said, I'm sorry, we're going to need to take your umbrellas, and you're going to need to go inside. There's a storm coming. And I looked back at them and said, I'm sorry, a storm's not going to come while I'm here. So I'm going to keep my umbrella, and I'm going to keep my chair, but when you see me leave, you better bring it all in. Well, that sounds obnoxious. No, we've prayed over the weather so many times. We have a Jewish friend in Florida. He owns a restaurant. And we were having our relationship conference, and everybody was getting married on the pier at his restaurant. That morning he called and he said, you're going to have to bump these weddings up. There's a huge storm coming in and you're never going to make it. So right then I prayed and I told my friend, I said, Lee, you don't know my God. I just prayed and we're not going to have a storm until after the weddings. He said, well, if you get here right now, that'll be true. But if you do it on your schedule, that's not going to happen. And I said, okay, well, we'll just see what God has to say about that. So we came, we ran the weddings on time, everybody went to the restaurant afterwards and ate outside under a sunny sky. We got back in our cars, We started driving home, and all of a sudden, the rain started coming down. I'm telling you, friends, this is how it's supposed to be in your life. You're called to wield the shield of faith. I want you to say that right now. Say, I'm called to wield the shield of faith. So Hebrews 10:38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And, you know, sometimes I read stuff and I get a little nervous. I'm like, well, God, I don't think I'm just. I mean, I know me and I kind of mess up and I got in a fight with my husband last night and I told him he was wrong and he wanted me to apologize this morning and I wasn't ready yet. And you know, the just shall live by faith. And so I looked up another translation. It said the righteous shall live by faith. Do you know the righteous means in right standing with God? In order to be in right standing with God, which would also coincide with Hebrews 11:6, that says without faith it's impossible to please God. We can't be in right standing with God without faith. But it takes faith to be in right standing with God. Because God's righteousness is never, ever, ever something that we're going to earn, or we're going to quit messing up, or we're going to start being good, or it's going to work out one day, or we're not going to sin all day long. If you think you made it a day without sin, I'm here to tell you, there's a couple that got by you. It's just that normal to our flesh. It takes faith to be righteous, because his righteousness only comes by faith. But we will never, ever be righteous unless we have faith for his righteousness, and then we operate in faith. And I know that can be just a little bit confusing, so I'm going to take you to Romans 1:17 real quick. Romans 1:17 says, for in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes, which God gives, is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith. So righteousness comes from faith, and righteousness leads to faith. You can't be righteous without it, because we're filthy rags, right? We're a mess. If you're a hot mess, say amen.
Amen.
If you're saved by grace, say amen.
Amen.
If Jesus has washed you clean, say amen.
Amen.
And you got that by faith. You got that by faith. So, but a lot of churches, they don't really teach on faith. I think maybe a lot of folks don't really understand faith. They haven't really studied faith, so they leave the faith here. Well, he did that. I got saved. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. There's my faith. But how do you know, how many of you know that's never going to protect me? So now that we're saved by faith, we pick up that faith. And we start wielding that faith because it's springing both from faith and leading to faith. Let's go back to Romans 1:17. Disclosed through the way of faith that arouses us to more faith. Have you ever gotten started on a faith project? And you started like praying over it, and you started watching things come to pass, and as things started popping and happening in your life, you're like, well, while I'm praying and while I'm hot on this thing, I'm going to start asking for some other stuff because God is really moving in my life. Who am I talking to right now? Say amen.
Amen.
When you start acting in faith, it arouses your faith and you start walking in more faith. And I thought, oh my gosh, banner your offering. We're saving. We're setting aside. We're believing God for the money to give. I know a lot of people are like, okay, God, you've called me to give $1,000. I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm believing you to give it to me so I can give it. So people are believing to give, but don't stop there. That's coming from faith, but it needs to be leading to faith. Believe in the harvest that's coming from your banner year offering. Don't leave your belief in your faith at the seed. Put your faith on the harvest. There was a woman in the West Palm Beach campus. She said, hey, I really, really, really need to give my banner year offering right now because I'm believing God for a house. It's a bidding war. And the bidding war is going to be over by December 10th. So here's my banner year offering. I am planting it in the ground, and I'm believing God. I am getting that house. She knew my little hot hands need to get my seed in the ground, not because she was just believing God for the seed, but because she knew once I have that in the ground, I can now put my faith on the harvest that can come to me. Do not go into that banner you're offering just, I believed for the seed. You need to go into that banner you're offering and say, I know what I'm getting when I plant this seed. That is my house. That is my healing. That is my husband. That is my wife. That is my marriage. That is my child. That is my daddy coming to Christ. You name that seed and you believe for it. Everybody say, I got faith.
I got faith.
So it says, springing from faith, leading to faith, to close the way of faith that arouses more faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just. We get just through faith, right? Because we can't do it by ourselves. And upright shall live. The man who through faith is just and upright shall live. Why do I pause there? Because there are people here. There are people listening in the hospital right now. There are people at home sick listening right now. And they're wondering, how am I going to feel better? Well, I know how you're going to feel better. You're going to feel better by
faith.
You're going to feel better by faith. And you're going to live by faith. If you're in the sound of my voice right now, I'm going to go ahead and let a boldness rise up on the inside of me and tell you, you're going to live and not die. The Lord is going to satisfy you with long life. And if you're not satisfied, your life is not over. If your life is not long, your life is not over. You need to go ahead and claim that scripture in Psalm 91 by faith and say, I am not satisfied, devil. So you're going to have to give that diagnosis to somebody else, because not today, Satan. Today I raise up my shield of faith, and my healing might not be here today, but God has sent it from heaven and it is on the way. He's the performer. I'm just the believer. I'm sitting here believing no matter what happens. It's arriving. I've seen the tracking number. It's en route. Amen? The just shall live by faith. Live by faith. And this says, and faith is just, and the upright shall live. There is life. Financial life. Relational life. Happy life. Joy life. There's all kinds of life inside of faith. It's tucked in there, waiting to be believed on, waiting to be harvested. And that coincides great with Scripture. It's in the canon of Scripture in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and life more abundantly. I love the Amplified Version. It has come that they might have and enjoy life. I love that one for the people who think you only get to have good life once you go to heaven. I'm like, they pointed it out so they can know they can have a good time here. That you may have and enjoy life in abundance to the full till it overflows. That means you have the right to have faith for a fun life, to an overflowing life, to a laughing so hard my stomach hurts life, to a laughing so hard that my cheeks hurt life, to a laughing so hard we're falling out of our chairs life. If your life is not overflowing in joy, you need to go ahead and put joy in your little faith walk right there and say, man, I'm putting some faith on some joy. I'm putting some faith on some enjoyment.
It don't do anybody any good. If you're a Christian, you look like this. I'm a Christian. Follow me to church. God's good. Amen. I don't know what they're having. Whatever the order is on the menu, give me the opposite.
God has set you up to lead a faith life, to operate under the shield of faith. So how do you get that faith? Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing. That's why you can't come to church. I'm not here. Trust me. We got seats. We're cool. I'm not trying to start another service. It's more work for us. We are starting another service at Weldon. We're starting another service in Florida. We got enough new services, okay? But it's not about less work for us. It's about you living a full, abundant life till it overflows. One that you're enjoying and one that you're not scared of. One that has you stand up to a tornado or point to a fire. One that has you look a diagnosis right back in the eye and say, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, I ain't scared of you. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Y'all, church, family, loved ones, people who are going to ask me to pray. Prioritize God. Put him first. It's okay, you're going to miss a soccer game or two, but you know what? The kids are going to kick the ball and it's going to be fine and you're going to be at the next one. Bring your kids. Don't send your kids to the soccer game and not bring them here because you want to teach a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Those seeds will be down on the inside, and even if they act like a teenager way into their 20s, those seeds are there. And you'll have the right to speak to those seeds and call those seeds to harvest. And they'll sprout and they'll come up. And those kids will know what to do. Good parents are godly parents. Good parents show their children the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that way, when their little kid friends at school have a problem with mom and dad, or they're getting divorced, or heaven forbid, there's a child in their classroom who gets a diagnosis, your little one says, I know what to do. Come here. I want to pray for you. And your child may be the only Jesus that that family ever sees, because you may never, ever meet the mom and dad. We've got to get surrounded by good people. We've got to get in those eye connects. We've got to have those shield of faith partners standing next to us, praying with us, helping protect us and holding us up. We've got to start getting into growth track and making sure that we're praying prayers, that we're connected with God, we're connected with people, we're discovering our purpose. We've got to get surrounded by people who know what to say when we don't know what to say. We need to get ourselves connected to people who say, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver you from the noisome snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. I'm not afraid of the terror by night or the arrow that flies by noonday. No, I'm not going to be afraid of any of that. 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 in my right hand. Forest fires all around or tornadoes coming to my house. But not me. I shall not be afraid. Only with my eyes am I going to see the reward of the wicked. You know why? Because I have made the Lord my God, my shield and my buckler. No evil is going to befall me. Angels are going to lift me up lest I dash my foot against a stone. I'll be able to tread on the lion and tread on the scorpion and tread on the cobra. Why? Because my Lord, my God, I've set my love upon him and I have called his name. And with long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. Can somebody give a shout to our Lord, our God? Amen. Amen. That is your promise. That is your shield. That is what you claim. Rip it out. Wallpaper your house with it. And know, whatever hits the shield is going to fall. Amen. It might look hard, might look too big, but it's going to fall. Because nothing, not one thing, is bigger than the Lord your God. If you want me to pray a faith prayer for you right now, would you raise your hands to heaven? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every campus. I pray for every person. I pray for every person online. I pray for every person on television. I pray for every single person in the sound of my voice, Father. I know that you've answered questions, and I know that you've gone out before us. I know that you have planted us together at this moment in time so that faith would be increased, so that we would have the ability to ask and believe. Now, God, as our faith is high, we speak out these faith words and we say that we are healed in the name of Jesus, from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, from the backs of our body to the front of our body. Every organ, every tissue, every bone, every marrow, no tumors, no cysts, no growths can grow in our body. We forbid them. They are under the curse and we live under grace, Father. I call in the money in the name of Jesus. You come in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We know what to do with finances. We sow into the kingdom and we live on the rest and we pay off our debts and we live happy and in free and in joy. I speak to depression and say, you have to flee, because we have a shield of faith for joy and peace in our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Was that all right for today?
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.